Live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for June 16th in the year of our Lord, 2021. And this is hour two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. James Edwards with me, well-known talk show host in his own right, co-hosting the broadcast today. His website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, is award-winning talk show. In his book, Racism, Schmacism, he's a talk show host, he's an author, he's a family man, and he stands for advancing his own race, the white race. Is he allowed to do that, or can he only do that if you're every race but white? Oh, that is critical race theory at its heart, ladies and gentlemen. White people can't do that because they're the oppressors. Everybody else can do that because they're the victims. Regardless if you've ever victimized anybody or not as an individual, that's irrelevant. You come from it. Ancestry that has absolutely abused people goes the satanic narrative. Now, slavery, by the way, has been perpetrated by all groups in the world, suppressing other groups in the world from a racist point of view. It's happened. It's wrong. We reject it. Nevertheless, it's reality. And we do not celebrate slavery, but we, in my opinion, acknowledge the reality. Okay? We know that it happens and that it's wrong. But nevertheless, you can't just blame the whites for every problem on the world. What they really want to do is blame the whites, and they really want to point to Christianity as their real attempt and agenda, I submit to you. All right, James Edwards with me. The next headline really is why we're talking about this race discussion flat out straight for 2 hours without exception. And here's the headline from your government. Attorney General Merrick Garland said white supremacy is the greatest domestic violent extremist threat as he unveiled the Biden administration's new national strategy for combating what they call domestic national terrorism. Believe it or not, in the FBI's view, the top domestic violent extremist threat comes from racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists, specifically those who advocate for the superiority of the white race, Garland said in a speech at the Justice Department. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that is serious, serious business. That is a serious allegation. The national strategy for countering domestic terrorism will involve coordination between multiple federal agencies, including interagency cooperation, they say. There's more to this. Biden's administration announced a new national strategy for countering domestic terrorism. They say that it found that the two most lethal, listen to this, the two most lethal concerns in America are one, listen, the two most critical domestic terrorist threats are one, racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists who advocate for the superiority of the white race, and two, anti-government or anti-authority violent extremists, such as militia violent extremists. There you have it. They also have four pillars to their plan, which we'll get into in a minute. But James Edwards, this is why I focus on this. They are taking this, I don't know what you want to call it, how many year history of a division of America over race. And they are exploiting this and now trying to codify it into law that, you know what, if you don't accept their critical race theory, my friend, you will be a domestic terrorist. That's where they're headed, whether it's white, whether it's Christian. They won't say the word Christian, but that's what it amounts to. The godless versus the God-believing, the white versus everybody else. This divide has become so central to the Conquer America plan. The only way they can stop us is to try to say, if you stand against us, we'll call you a domestic terrorist, and then we'll put laws in place to persecute and prosecute you. James, that's where we are, sir.
Well, it's like when Joe Biden went and met with the troops the other day and said the greatest threat to the world is climate change. And the United States military has to fight against climate change. How are you supposed to do that? Of course, it doesn't exist, and neither does this threat from the so-called Department of Justice, which is, of course, in actuality, the Department of Social Justice. And Merrick Garland, it's all made up. I don't think that they could possibly believe it. There's certainly no statistics or facts or data that would point that so-called white supremacists. Now, what is a white supremacist? By the way, they are defining it. It is someone who would resonate or think highly of our founding fathers, or would whose beliefs would fall in line with the founding fathers. That's what everybody's a white supremacist now. This is a slur. I wrote a book about it 10 years ago, 11 years ago now, actually 11 years ago this month. And it was true then. It's even more true today. There, you don't see it. Obviously, once every 2 or 3 years, you will have a very tragic incident like a Dylann Roof. Tragic, inexcusable. He'll get he's going to die in prison because of it, and that's a just allocation of punishment. But white people who go off and do things like that are so rare. Again, it only happens once every couple of years. Now, the media, when these rare incidents happen, will hype it up as if this is it. This is what we were talking. It's one incident. Okay, it's tragic. It's wrong. But incidents of black on white murder are near daily. And it just depends on what the media wants to hype and overamplify, and what they completely want to suppress and not report on at all. Like the incident where you had the incident with Connor Hynant, this 6-year-old boy who was just riding his bike, and a black man walked up behind him and shot him in the back of the head with a gun. Now, that's the stuff Hollywood movies are made out of, fictitious Hollywood movies where you have these crazy whites from the 1960s who go around. They didn't do that then. They didn't even do that then. They're supposed to be the worst people who ever trod the soil. They never did stuff like that. You had another one. His name was Cash Geenan, another young white boy. Look, could have been my son. Like Barack Obama said, Trayvon Martin could have been my son. Well, these boys literally look like my son. They're the same age. They've got this glow and joy of life in their eyes, or they did before it was snuffed out. Cash Geenan, just another young boy who was just killed for nothing because he was white. Could you imagine if a white man went up behind a 6-year-old black boy who was just riding his bike, minding his own business in front of his own house, shot him in the back of the head? You don't think race would have been injected into that murder? But things like this happen very, very, very regularly. Hardly a day passes.
And
that's not always that.
Here's what's interesting, James. These are the same discussions that you and Jesse Lee Peterson, a black man and a white man, went on CNN to discuss literally years and years and years ago, and now it's just at an epic amplified level. How far can they ratchet this narrative up? Are they just going to start putting white Christians in jail?
Okay, I'm going to have to change this mic cord out. Yeah, but that could definitely happen. I mean, it's definitely trending that way. There's nothing magical about America that's protecting us from the same so-called hate crimes laws and hate thought laws that have plagued not just nations like North Korea, but other Western nations, other formerly Christian nations like Germany and France and the U.K. So, yes, it could certainly happen here, and it will happen here. I mean, it could happen here sooner than you think
here if we, the people, don't stand up and put a stop to this dishonest, satanic narrative that's based on division and destruction. So listen carefully to what they say. They said that they found that the two most lethal elements of today's domestic terrorism are, one, racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists who advocate for the superiority of the white race. Now, here's the problem. Number one, I don't know that we advocate for the superiority of the white race. I would like to look at it a little differently. We advocate for the right race because we're white, just as the blacks advocate for the black race because they're black. And so does that mean that we think we're superior? And does it mean we intend to codify laws that make us superior? Well, that's another question. But then they tie it to violence as if they're one and the same. So if you think you're superior because you're white, then you're violent about it is the natural conclusion. There are many people that think they're superior because they're white, but that doesn't mean they're ready to go to violence.
Yeah, it's there a total, other, total disconnect.
There are also other people who believe that they're white and have every right to advocate for the white race, but they don't necessarily believe they're superior. Okay, we've got all kinds of nuances here, and they're obliterating the two and saying, hey, no matter what you think, if you advocate for your white race, not only are you, one, thinking you're superior, and two, you're violent. That's the dishonest narrative conclusion, right, James?
That's exactly it, Sam. I mean, because I'm not ashamed of who my ancestors are, I don't regret the history of America, the history of Western civilization, that I'm somehow a ready-made psychopath or mass murderer. I mean, obviously, that's foolish. I have the same beliefs that pretty much every American up until the 1960s had. And this thing, too, again, there's just no evidence. It's completely fabricated that these people, who they are claiming, now again, nobody I know identifies as a white supremacist. That's the word, the slur, the libel, the slander that the government and the media is using to define white people with traditional beliefs. But nobody that I know uses that term or would welcome it. And certainly nobody that I know would go out and do anything violent, much less become a threat of murder or whatever. And to call the people at the Capitol insurrectionists and terrorists and domestic terrorists, which is where a lot of this is emanating from, is what you saw on January 6th. But give Black Lives Matter, who were burning down cities for 2 years, sacking police stations, taking over square blocks of Seattle and Portland, still to this day in Portland. You know, that what's that, a peaceful protest? Burning, arson,
looting?
Ladies
and gentlemen, I got some hard questions for Sam and James in a second. We'll talk about it. We'll also talk about the four pillars of Biden's plan in seconds.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt. And there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
So whacked out Joe Biden and Attorney General Merrick Garland are basically saying there's two serious domestic threats that trump any other threat we face in the world today. They say that most two lethal elements are, and then they break this down. And I want to break down the very words they're using. They're using scare words. And they're stringing together words that have a dishonest narrative, making you assume that the reality is the way they're pitching it. So here's what they say. Racially or ethnically motivated violent. Well, I don't know that I'm racially or ethnically motivated violent. That's not true. It's not true for me, and it's not true for James. We're not motivated violent by anything. Just because we have our views, we have a right to our views. That doesn't equate to violence. All right. Now, when you say racially or ethnically motivated, again, that has a scare word charge tactic to it that I disagree with. Then they say extremists. So now you're violent extremists. I'm neither an extremist nor am I violent. I walk right down the road of constitutionality, right down the road that we're all God's children and we should behave like that. Then they say who advocate for the superiority of the white race. So now here's the problem. All that first part, the violent, the extremist, I reject all that. Now they say who advocate for the superiority of the white race. Well, again, now you say, wait, do I advocate for the superiority or do I just advocate my race? Of course I should advocate my heritage and my race. Okay, of course I should believe in my race and my people. But that doesn't mean that I'm racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists. See how they string these scare words together and then advocate for the superiority? Again, this is the scare words they're putting together. Do you advocate for your race, James?
Yes, I do. I do. Okay. It's my extended
Now,
family.
Is there anything? Hold on. Stop. Is there anything wrong with advocating for your race? I advocate for my race, too. If you have children, you're advocating for your race because you hope that you have children. Right?
Well, I mean, there's that. And then, of course, apparently it's not only allowed but encouraged if it's every other ethnicity, orientation, racial group except for whites. If we do the exact same things everyone else is not only allowed to do but encouraged to do, then somehow it's evil. And it's not only evil, it is the greatest terror threat in American history. If you're white, not ashamed of it, and identify as part of a group that has unique interests just like everybody else does.
Now, here's the question. Are you racially or ethnically motivated towards violence
yes.
as an extremist, James?
No, not the last part.
See,
certainly not. I mean, never.
That's the part that I'm saying is insane. Now, are you advocating for the superiority of your race?
If anything, the separation. To be superior would mean you would want to lord over people who have different faiths, different languages, different cultures, different heroes. You want to subordinate them. I think that if you have so many differences on this temporal plane of Earth, it's going to lead to conflict. Because not only do I not want violence, but because I want to avoid such conflict, I think that there should be some sort of a peaceful partition. So far from wanting to be superior or to reign supreme over them, I would rather just be left alone.
Anyway, I bring this up on purpose because I want to really get to something that's important to understand. Just because you advocate for the white race, doing what all other races do, just because you advocate for your Christianity, doing what all other religious people do, just because you advocate for your heterosexual lifestyle, as all people who believe as you do, and all people otherwise do, that doesn't insert the words that they've cherry-picked here to peddle their porn agenda. All right? Racially or ethnically motivated, violent extremists, and then this idea of superiority. Okay, we're not debating superiority. We're merely saying we're white, we're Christians, we're heterosexual, and we're proud of those core values, and we advocate for them. But ladies and gentlemen, that doesn't suggest an extremist view. It doesn't suggest a violent view. It doesn't suggest any of those scare word dishonest narratives that they're literally attacking us with. Now listen carefully to these four pillars they're talking about, James. Four pillars, with the first, they say, aiming to understand and share information relating to domestic terrorism. Now, that scares me, because what does that mean? That means monitor Liberty Roundtable live. That means determine how what they decide Sam is on the extremism meter, on the white racist advocate media meter. They say, in part, the government plans to tackle this pillar by, quote, enhancing domestic terrorism analysis and improving information sharing via multiple law enforcement agencies. All right. The second pillar, they say, focuses on preventing future recruitment and mobilization to violence. So at first glance, you would say, I'm fine. I've never recruited people and motivated anybody for violence. But that's where the differences start to show themselves. They would say that I'm advocating for violence because I believe in the Founding Fathers' view, which is a revolutionary view. They would furthermore say I stand with Christians and believe that all not Christians, whatever, that I'm white, that I want to down every other race. They say to do so, the initiative looks to address online recruitment and has revamped support to community partners who can prevent people from reaching the level of domestic violence. That's the second pillar. The third pillar offers plans on disrupting and discouraging domestic terrorism. See, these simple plans make you think, well, you know what? That's not so bad. We should all be for that. But pillar four explains ways to confront long-term contributors to domestic terrorism. The last pillar notes that the government will look towards ensuring that law enforcement doesn't operate with bias. Wow. And will counter polarization due to disinformation, misinformation, etc. But the White House didn't specify how exactly the administration will implement some of the changes that they're advocating for. Ladies and gentlemen, this is very scary indeed, and I haven't even got to the second pillar yet. But James, what they're trying to do is they're trying to make you believe that a white supremacist and a white advocate are the same thing. They're also trying to make it to where if you believe in your white race or Christianity or the proper role of government, that you are a violent extremist based on ethnic or racial rhetoric or a hate-filled message. Just because you believe I'm white and I want to have children and advocate for the white race, same thing all races are doing, that I want to support my Christian views, that I believe in heterosexual one woman, one man marriages, one man, one woman marriage, the traditional family, etc. They want to use these scare words and build this narrative that you are the greatest domestic threat in the country, and they're now literally putting plans, regulations in place to laser-like focus all government agencies in coordination on you and me, sir.
Well, Sam, that's what they're doing, but I mean, I have no illusion, I'm sure you don't either, that they listen to every show anyway. I mean, the media regularly reports on the things that we say, so their agents and their minions are listening if they're not listening outright, and that's fine because I've never said anything on the air or even in private or even in the comfort of my home that I wouldn't say in front of a law enforcement officer or a court of law. I've never broken any laws. Other than maybe speeding, I guess, a couple of times, got a ticket. But, you know, with stuff like this, I mean, obviously not, never advocated for it, never thought about it. So if it gets down to the point where it goes the full money, I mean, they're going to literally have to start arresting people who have a difference of opinion from the woke, progressive, antichrist, anti-American crowd, which is the crowd that they represent. So I wonder, though, because we know that there literally are not white people who go out wantonly killing other people. It happens out of a country of 300 million. Yes, you're going to have some bad eggs and some bad actors. It's sad. It's unfortunate, but every now and then you are going to have a Dylan Roof, and that's terrible, but that is by no means a trend. You have, I think, within my lifetime, you could count them on your fingers, white people who behave like that compared to the countless counterparts on the other hand. So because these white people don't exist in the way that they are framing them in these planks, they would literally have to go and start arresting people like us just for having a difference of opinion and trying to shoehorn us into this fitting. And I don't know if that's happening. I think that this may be just some sort of posturing to placate their base, to make it look as though they're really cracking down.
Hang tight. Otherwise, Liberty Roundtable live in seconds.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You- USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
New Israeli airstrikes in Gaza were launched after incendiary balloons were launched from Palestinian territory and exploded over Israel. Dan Araki from the Ohio USA Radio News Bureau reports.
Israel has launched airstrikes into the Gaza Strip following a series of arson attacks. The Israeli Defense Force says it bombed Hamas military complexes in Khan Yunis and Gaza City overnight on Wednesday. The attacks come in retaliation for the launch of incendiary balloons from the territory, which started at least 20 fires on Tuesday, according to the Israeli Fire Service. It's the first major violence since the two sides agreed on a ceasefire on May 21st. There were no immediate reports of injuries.
The Senate on Tuesday confirmed antitrust expert Lina Khan as commissioner of the Federal Trade Commission. The 69-28 vote greenlit Khan, known for her work how to apply antitrust laws to the big tech industry. This is USA Radio News.
Hello, this is Wayne Allyroot for our newest sponsor, Asset Strategies, or ASI for short. ASI is a precious metals powerhouse. They sell gold and silver. Never in history has there been a more important moment to buy gold and silver. ASI has been in business for 39 years. They've served over 20,000 clients and sold $5 billion worth of gold, silver, and precious metals with zero complaints. Last year, gold saw gains of 25%. Silver nearly doubled gold's performance. Now Democrats are in charge. Green New Deal, open borders, free healthcare for illegals. Bail out broke cities and states. The debt is about to go through the stratosphere. The time to buy is now. The owners of ASI, Michael and Rich Chekin, have been my close personal friends for 16 years. ASI is the company I trust when it comes to buying and selling precious metals. Call now to receive a free consultation and a free 1 ounce silver eagle with every qualifying purchase when you mention the Wayne Allyroot Show. Call 800-831-0007. That's 800-831-0007. Or visit assetstrategies.com.
Back in 1983 and 1984, the water level at Lake Mead was so full, the dam had to use spillways to release excess water. Now, decades of drought have the dam on the border between Arizona and Nevada at dangerously low levels. Tim Burke from the Phoenix USA Radio News Bureau reports.
A decrease in the level of water coming from the Colorado River is a cause for concern in the western United States and Mexico. The Bureau of Reclamation says 2 years of drought have reduced the water flowing into Lake Mead and Lake Powell. That's a problem since the river provides more than 40 million people in Colorado, Arizona, California, Nevada, New Mexico, Utah, and Wyoming. Millions of gallons of water from the river are also promised to Mexico as part of a treaty signed in 1944.
One thing the lockdowns taught us about Americans, consumers and streamers are preferring shows that are released weekly as opposed to binge-watching shows that are released all at once. That's according to data provided by Parrot Analytics. This is USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, Sam Bushman and James Edwards talking about this agenda from the Biden administration via the Attorney General, whacked out Merrick Garland, who literally claims that a white racism is the biggest threat in America, that and anti-government views. So he further dishonestly claims the two most lethal elements of today's domestic terrorism threat are, one, racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists who advocate for the superiority of the white race, and number two, anti-government or anti-quote authority violent extremists, such as militia violent extremists. Okay, now, again, there's so many scare words in all this, it's just hard to even break down. We've allowed in America the Democrats, the liberals, the communists, the socialists, whatever words you want to use for this, James, they've literally allowed us to get into so many scare words. Now you're talking about militia, anti-government, hate, Christians, violent, white. Everything you are is the domestic threat. Everything I am is the domestic threat, the greatest threat the nation's ever faced. Forget about foreign threats. Forget about real terrorism. Forget about whatever. They're advocating that, you know what, the white guy, that Christian guy, that believing in the traditional family guy, that guy that wants the proper role of government is a hater, is an evil, demonic threat that we've got to stop at all government costs. I mean, they're really doubling down for this, James, and I don't know where it's going to go.
Well, this is what we were talking about before the break. I don't know. I mean, obviously, it's completely devoid of fact, reason, logic, data, examples, etc. So I don't know if it is just posturing and rhetoric to make it appear to their base as though they are really cracking down on what they consider to be the extremists and so on and so forth, and all these fanciful adjectives they use to describe typical God-fearing rock-ribbed conservatives, hardworking, family-raising, tax-paying. Now, that's what we are. We're not these other things. So are they just doing this to posture to their base, or are they doing it in an attempt to further suppress those types of people, the people the way who are, as I describe them to be, the typical Trump supporters, for instance? Are they doing this to sort of put a damper on any future rallies or demonstrations? You know, is that what it is? Is it a psychological tool they are using against conservatives and Trump supporters and the Republican base to keep them from speaking up and standing out, to keep them from believing that they can do what their counterparts do and take to the streets? Now, if we took to the streets, we certainly wouldn't be looting stores and burning down buildings and doing all these things like the Democrats do. But is that what it is? Is it to suppress the pushback, or to make it appear to the Democratic base as if they're going after these people? I think it's probably one of the two, because if it's anything other than that, they're going to have to begin arresting and putting in jail people who don't go out and pose a threat and don't go out and commit acts of violence, because they'll have to target people who don't do it, because the people who do the things that they allege don't exist. So that's the way it comes down, Sam. They're either going to start arresting people who are no threat and don't do the things because they have to arrest somebody to make it appear as though what they're saying is factual. I don't think that's going to be the door. I think the door is either suppression of conservative demonstrations, or to make it look as though to their base that they're after these guys.
All right, here's what I would say to you. I believe they are using the January 6th example, the Capitol example on January 6th, as their way to strategize and filter the threats and eventually go after us all. And let me explain what I mean. They're first saying, if you went into the Capitol and if you caused trouble, there's a level for you. If you hurt a cop, there's a level for you. If you went into the building but you didn't mean to, there's a level for you. If you went there but didn't go into the Capitol, there's a level for you. And they're literally trying to use social media, and they're literally trying to manipulate this into, you know what, everyone is guilty to some degree. It's just a matter of how guilty and what the penalty will be. And they're using this for that. For example, well, James, you're advocating for a lot of the things that the white supremacists advocated for when they went in hunting down congressmen and senators there, don't you know? And you weren't there because you might have not had the means to go there, but you still have the same ideology. You still have the same viewpoint. You still have the same concern point. That's, I believe, where they're going, and they're using this January 6th experiment to see how far the American people will let them go. Can you just use the FBI to knock down the door of somebody who was at the rally and then search their house and steal all their possessions and then create and build over time a narrative against them? Can you get people to turn and make claims that may or may not be true as you prosecute and pit people one against another? Can you inject this fear tactic so hardcore, so in your face belligerent that, man, everybody will cave and cop a plea deal so that it doesn't get worse for them? They're really building this narrative as the, in my opinion, shot across the bow experimentation to say, how granular can we make this? How abusive can we push this without the American people just absolutely rejecting it? And then how can we isolate? How can we demonize? And then how can we persecute and prosecute anybody who's Christian, anybody who's white, anybody who believes in the traditional family, and especially those of us who speak out boldly against it? How can they craft the narrative is their experiment right now, James?
If it is the worst case scenario, how much damage could they do and how quickly can they do it? Because after passing that last stimulus payment, that Biden was able to push through with bipartisan support. That's the last thing Biden's going to be able to do. He's not going to get any other piece of legislation. Any other piece of the far left agenda is not going to pass because you've got the senator from West Virginia, Manchin, who is not going to vote against the filibuster, and he's not going to vote. He's going to vote in the interests of his constituents and not go along with this so-called woke, so-called progressively worse agenda that the Democrats have. So the Democrats aren't going to get anything else done in Congress, and they're probably going to lose more power in the midterms. I would predict that. So I don't
Hold
know.
Hold on, say
I
that mean, again. Who's going to lose more power, the Republicans?
The Democrats, I think, will lose more power in the midterms, and if and when, that further erodes what they've got to work with, and the midterms are next year. So, you know, they've only got a year and change to year and a half. I mean, we're already in June, for goodness sake. I mean, if you can believe it. So they've got a year and a half to do their damnedest, and then I don't know. I mean, I guess, you know, obviously, Biden as president would still appoint the Justice Department official. So maybe they'd have a little bit longer than that. But I don't know, Sam. I see the scare stuff. I see the scare tactics. But basically what it's going to have to come down to is they're going to have to start arresting God-fearing family men like me and you because
they've already
done it. They want to go after don't exist.
You go to the Capitol peacefully, my friend, and say that you want honesty in elections.
Yeah, that's right. No, that's right.
They're ready to go ahead and do it. Now, you go to Charlottesville, and you get the crap beaten out of you because the cops don't do their jobs, and they let the black and the whatever agenda have their way, the Black Lives Matter and the Antifa, and you're a victim, but yet you tried to defend yourself at Charlottesville, and you're gone. And you look at Ammon Bundy, and you know what? They came to his ranch and pointed guns at the people, snipers, and then they lied about it in court and got caught lying. Okay, Ammon Bundy went to jail for 2 years, and he's guilty of nothing. Okay, this has already started. What's next? You can't go out of your house. You have none of the five guarantees of the First Amendment applying to you. You don't have your gun rights afforded to you. And so you decide, I got to, you know, stand up and do something about it. Now you're guilty of how hardcore does this fault line reach? And I'm telling you, it's getting crazy. Chris, Utah, you want to chime in? Make it quick.
Yes, sir, James. I wish I had more time because I do have an explanation for this whole racist onslaught against those of primarily Northern European extraction, Sam. And this might be a topic for a different show when we do have more time. But let me just say it simply. The account of Joseph who was sold into Egypt is being replayed out today. And Joseph represents those of Northern European extraction. And I can almost prove it biblically. And I wrote a 7-page paper. You might be, James, I would like to send this to you and you can read it. But basically, there's Please always do. Been a rivalry between the House of Judah, who now are represented by modern day, I would say, specifically Zionist Jews, and those of Northern European extraction, who I can almost beyond a shadow of a doubt prove biblically are those of Northern European extraction, of which we are. We claim that heritage. And I can say that this is not being driven by minorities, blacks or Muslims or Hispanics. This is being driven by those who claim to be members of the House of Judah. And primarily
you're absolutely right on this reality. I think you're right on this reality, Chris. And I think that the blacks and the whites are all victims of this. We have the right to advocate for our heritage. That doesn't mean we're extreme. It doesn't mean we're violent. It doesn't mean we're hate-filled. That's the narrative lie they're putting to this. It's straight from satanic warfare. Do you have a quick, greater point to make, Chris?
Can I hang on over the break?
You got to be quick.
I do.
Hold on.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing Foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various Foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
All right, back with you live. Jamin Edwards with me. The politicalcesspool.org is radio program. Chris Carlson, Utah, making a point saying that, hey, there's always been, since Joseph was sold into Egypt, friction between the North European peoples and Judah. And this battle is biblical and has been going on forever. Chris?
Yeah, and I don't want to get bogged down in the details because our time is precious here. But this is going to be a paradigm shift for you, James, and I'm going to send you this document that I wrote that documents through biblical scholarship that we Northern Europeans are primarily descended from the house of Joseph. So we are Israel. We are God's chosen people. And there are plenty of references. Let me just say this. When Rehoboam, the kingdom of Rehoboam, oppressed the northern kingdom, they split apart. And there was a rivalry. Sometimes they were at peace with each other. Sometimes they were at war with each other. What I'm telling you right now is that there's a continuation of that same rivalry with the same groups being involved. And we're all Europeans, at least those of northern European, we're all of Israel, primarily those of northern European extraction. And Zionist Jews are driving this racist agenda because they have this, whether consciously or subconsciously, this remembrance of that rivalry that is now being continued. And they're trying to destroy us because of jealousy. So I'll just leave it at that. James, I'm going to get your contact information from Sam, and I will send you this document. And you will be blown away at how much evidence there is in the Bible to prove what I've just told you.
All right, we'll let you fly.
I've heard this
theory
before. Respond. Well, I was just going to say, I appreciate the call from Chris. Very thoughtful, very heartfelt, and I would love to read more about it. I've heard, obviously, about this theory before. I would love to read your documentation of it. And just go to thepoliticalcesspool.org. There's a contact button, and you can send me right there, and I'd love to be in touch with you.
And we do understand this biblical reality. The problem with the discussion, in my opinion, there's, if you're not careful, what you start doing is painting with a broad brush. And you start saying, hey, the Jews are all responsible. And there's no doubt that the Jews are in high places. And there's no doubt, ladies and gentlemen, that there is warfare, biblically speaking, as Chris says. The problem that I have with it is if you're not very careful, but you what you do is you just start painting with too broad of a brush. Pretty soon people think their neighbor that happens to be Jewish is their enemy. And I don't really think that's true or helpful. I think that there are an elite group in all organizations that have been infiltrated and abused and manipulated. Some of the greatest murders have been under the flag of Christianity and under the flag. Okay, so they pervert the truth. And no doubt the point that he's making is real and true. But if we're not careful, we take it to the extreme and we don't do the concern, if you will, justice, because it's painted with such a broad brush, nobody believes in what we're saying. And people said, well, I know a Jewish guy. He's my neighbor, and he's actually high up in his church, and he's not this or that. And, you know, we need to be very careful of how we articulate this. Really, it's good versus evil. And those who are into suppression, those who are into division, simply are, you know, out of the devil's playbook. Those who are promoting unity and stability and safety, and even sometimes separation, are, in my opinion, doing what is right. I don't mean separation by force. I mean free association. And that leads to separation, naturally so, wisely so, for a good purpose in God. All right, there you have it. John Stevens, the owner of Maple Grove Farms in Minnesota, is now suing the Biden administration, James, over a loan forgiveness that is only available to minority farmers. So now, I guess Joe Biden's getting sued for being a racist.
Well, you know, the lawsuits against sitting presidents never seem to go very far.
True story, sad tale to tell. Also, there's a poll out, 4 in 5 Americans would prefer offensive and inaccurate speech over censorship. Only a small fraction wants to let the government decide. Art Moore with WND.com with this piece, but interesting survey, James.
Yeah, I mean, there is such a disconnect between you would if you read the establishment controlled media and the official narrative. I mean, you know, and this is by no means a new observation. I think everybody realizes that the media speaks with one voice. The entirety, the entire pantheon of the establishment press speaks with a single voice. You would think between all the different networks and all the different newspapers, there would be a difference of opinion on critical issues, but there is none. There is none. They all speak with one voice. They're all controlled by the same entities. And yes, I mean, there is a huge disconnect between the media and the people. You know that half the people, half the voting public voted for Donald Trump, at least half the voting people. If you accept the numbers from last November, you know that at least half the country. Where does that half of the country have the voice in a media? They don't, except for places like us and the Epoch Times and some of these other alternative organizations. I mean, maybe Tucker Carlson, he's an anomaly in the legacy media. And then you've got Newsmax and OAN and some of these other things. But, you know, that's by no means establishment. So, yes, I mean, I think when half the country has no voice out of the legacy media, they would rather prefer a few mistakes under the banner of authenticity than conformity, which, of course, is a very destructive force.
Now, I do want to point out, though, that, you know, the conservatives and the, you know, Christians and the constitutionalists and the whatever you want to call us, we don't have our, you know, fair share of the media. That's factual, but it's our own fault, James.
Well, I mean, I always have said, Sam, that the buck has to stop with men, and for our purposes, white men. If this was at one time our country, now we've certainly given it away, and we've given away our churches, and we've given away the universities, and we've given away the government, and we've given away the media, and we've given away all of these institutions. So, yes, I mean, if there's going to be a reclamation for Christ and for the kingdom of God on this earth, if there's going to be a reclamation for law and order and traditional Western society here in this nation that was built by those people and our ancestors, then it's going to have to – look, there's no doubt that there have been nefarious impacts thrust upon – the founding stock of this country by outside forces and other groups. But at the same time, it comes down to the fact that we allowed it. We were all too eager to rest and to placate chronic malcontents and to sit back and cash checks and watch football and let the good times roll. It's a lot easier to do that than to remain eternally vigilant, and we've just gotten lazy. So whatever problems that there are out there, and there are a lot of problems, and there are a lot of different reasons for those problems, but the solution to all of them, well, we run ads on this network that tells you what the solution is. Return to Christ, return to the founding principles, and have men of action who are willing to be called a name, willing to be able to stand up and be called a name and face a little heat, and that's what it's going to take.
Yeah, so if you're going to call me a racist, my simple response is next. So we can talk about the things that matter most, such as my God-given inalienable free speech rights and more. Believe it or not, the Senate now passed a bill declaring Juneteenth a federal holiday. Juneteenth is the lie holiday they're trying to put together that ended all slavery, James, except I'm a slave to the IRS now, and so I'm hoping to be freed, my friend.
There is a great article by Paul Craig Roberts, former member of the Reagan administration. He was the former Secretary of the Treasury under Ronald Reagan, and he wrote a recent article called The Truth About Slavery, and he makes mention of the fact that we're all slaves now. And he makes mention of the economics of it all. See, he was an economist, and he actually makes mention to your point about how the slave economy, that really not too much has changed from the days of chattel slavery when you just get down to the nuts and bolts of it. But this whole Juneteenth thing, Jesse Lee Peterson, today, you mentioned him earlier.
The difference today is they have really soft chains.
Yeah, that's right. And you could think you're free. It's just you're a slave to your own mind, I guess. But Jesse Lee Peterson was just saying how he's never going to celebrate that fake holiday, which it is. I mean, you didn't hear about that or the ridiculous Kwanzaa until very recently. Juneteenth has sort of picked up in just the last couple of years. But allegedly, it was June 19th in 1865 when the slaves actually learned that they were free, and there were some Union soldiers in Texas, I believe it was.
Yeah, the sad part is America's going to go for the holiday if the beer flows and the party continues, then Americans sadly will double down in defense of the holiday because they don't give a rip what it means. They just want a day off and they want a party. That's the sad tale, but let me throw a wrench in their party. And you ready, James?
Yep.
99% increase in chicken wings. Prices, restaurant owner places blame. World Net Daily with this piece. So now that your chicken wings are going to cost a lot more money, and if a lot of things start to cost a lot more money, inflation running rampant, then Americans are going to start to wake up and pay attention a little more than they have hitherto done. I can promise you that.
Well, that's what we're waiting on. Unfortunately, it's going to take something like that. Unfortunately, it's going to take a little bit of suffering and a little discomfort before people get animated enough to take action. It's not, though, that they don't agree with us. They do agree with us. We were just talking about half the country has no voice in the media at all, the half that voted for Donald Trump. So it's not as though there is no support for this agenda. It's just that it's not organized and it's not acted upon because, of course, if you do act upon it, they will arrest you. As we saw on January 6th, you'll be deemed a terrorist. If you're white and you speak out for conservative principles, you're, of course, a racist and a white supremacist. And so just those threats alone, the threats of name calling and the very real threat of being imprisoned if you actually take to the street, the last two times it happened, Charlottesville and January 6th, we saw the unfortunate fate of those very legal demonstrators, especially in Charlottesville, where they had a permit by a judge. They had every right to be there. But so that has dampened the activism, but that doesn't mean that the support isn't out there. And when it busts, and it will bust, and this is another thing William S. Lind is talking about, when it busts, it might not be pretty.
I pray that it'll be peaceful. I pray that it will be successful. I pray that we can take our country back without violence. The question really left is, will they let us? And ladies and gentlemen, James Edwards wrote an incredible book called Racism, Schmacism, thepoliticalcesspool.org, where you can find more about it. But all I bring this up for is to say, you know, that book is a great book. It's long in the tooth in the sense that it needs an update because there's so many more modern day examples. I think we ought to write a book called So What Next? Of course I'm a racist. You say so, and the truth doesn't matter. And we need to literally start to have that attitude to where, look, we're not going to focus on that because you're wasting our time, and we know it's become a distraction to take conservatives and constitutionalists and the American people out of the game. If you're not a racist because you're white, then you're an Uncle Tom because you're black if you agree with us. Okay, I'm not a racist. I'm not an Uncle Tom. I'm a God-fearing American that believes in God, family, and country. That can't be enough. They won't let me articulate that narrative because we don't have enough media to make that the name of the game. We can challenge their narrative. We're doing it. We're not doing it successfully enough because there's not enough of us speaking up. There's not enough dollars in the media to grow our presence, to take back the narrative. But you know what? They've been challenged by us like never before, and we will continue this effort to peacefully restore the republic in the tradition of our founders. And for me to be white and advocate for the white race is no sin. I clearly demonstrate that reality on your radio. And I may not agree with you, but I agree with your right to say and think what you choose. But you better afford that to me as well. James, 20 seconds, final thoughts, yours.
No, I just want to thank you again, Sam. You're right about all of that. It's not a sin Going back to what we were talking about earlier with what happened with the Southern Baptist Convention yesterday, let's rely on the sufficiency of Scripture. Let's not add to it things that aren't there. It's not a sin to be proud of the way God made you, and it's certainly not an act of terrorism. Thank you for all you do,
Sam Bushman and James Edwards, ladies and gentlemen. ThePoliticalCesspool.org, his website. LibertyRoundtable.com is our site. LovingLiberty.net, the syndicated network. Liberty News Radio. Spread the word. Donate liberally. God save the Republic.